You're listening to Radio Prague, the English service of Czech Radio, and I'm Rob Cameron. This summer, I spent 19 days travelling across the Czech Republic by train. The trains were very, very slow, giving me and my travelling companion, Nick Carey, enough time to see a huge number of places on the way. We set foot in more than 80 towns and villages and trundled over more than 2,000 kilometres of track. Not bad when you're only going about 50 kilometres an hour. The journey started as a joke. Could you, I once asked another friend a long time ago, travel right across the Czech Republic, only using the little local trains? A flurry of timetable browsing followed, until he came up with a hypothetical journey from Asch, in the very western tip of Bohemia, to Zlín, in southeast Moravia, in something like 36 hours. There would be no stopping, and at one point we'd have to hike over a mountain in the middle of the night. Ten years later, I found myself boarding a train for Asch as the hypothetical journey became reality. We're currently writing a book about our experiences, but this is a sort of audio diary of that trip from Asch to Zlín and back again.
Day 1. Asch to Kadaň.
Asch means grayling in German, a rather nondescript freshwater fish. It's a good name for a town that's very wet and very grey when we arrive. There's a trio of grayling leaping noisily and spewing water into a fountain on the main square. Otherwise, there isn't much to see in this former Sudeten German town. The elegant villas have been taken over by brothels or Vietnamese traders. We're not sorry to swap Asch for the grandeur of Františkové Lázně, a famous spa town just a few stops down the line.
So the salty spring loosening Qatar since 1916.
At the other end of this building, there's Luční. Do you want to go to Luční?
Which would be the meadow spring?
Yeah, sure.
After sampling the salty spring and the meadow spring and even rubbing the left foot of František, the cherubic infant whose statue dominates the town, it's back to the station to retrieve our backpacks and catch the 1336 to Cheb. Cheb offers more faded glory, more Vietnamese markets, and a forgettable lunch in a restaurant that has a photo of the main square with the caption Adolf Hitler Platz. Time to move on to Kadaň, our port of call for the night.
Day 2. Kadaň to Most.
The transition from West Bohemia to the industrial north is quite striking. You approach Kadaň by train via a hydroelectric power station. But the town is a little-known Baroque gem, full of winding medieval streets and stunning churches. And the crown jewel is this, the talking information board outside the 15th century Franciscan monastery.
An assortment of flaming cads used to run between the town and the monastery nightly. Nobody knew how to stop this nightly bluster. In the end, it was decided to take out the dead body from the monastic tomb, and so it was done. After her dead body was thrown down from the monastic rocks into the river Ochse, the procession of flaming cads ceased to appear.
Flaming cats.
After the splendour of Kadaň with its narrow alleys and flaming cats, Chomutov is something of a shock, all peeling tenement buildings and dank underpasses. We traipse morosely round Chomutov's depressing zoo before fleeing onwards to possibly the most soulless city in Europe, Most. The afternoon sun is beating down as we pass the strip mines on the outside of Most, the earth peeled and scraped back to reveal the coal seams beneath. Most is a hideous central planned blot on the landscape. The communists demolished the old town to get at the coal and then rebuilt the city as one big concrete housing estate. After 20 minutes, we spot a hotel. Our room is the stuff of nightmares. The wallpaper is mouldy, and the shower stall shudders when you stand on it. There's a pretzel under the bed.
Day 3, Most to Ústí nad Labem.
It's 8:12 in the morning on Monday morning, and we're just leaving the town, the city of Most, which is quite an extraordinary place. As I was going to bed last night, I was thinking of the film 1984. Not a very pleasant place at all, is it?
No. Actually, last night we had a vote. This is the worst place we have yet seen in this country, and we've both spent more than a decade apiece living in the Czech Republic. Yeah. So not a very auspicious title for Most to take.
Most was known as Brux in German, and Duxov, 20 kilometres down the line, was known as Dux. This bustling little town is dominated by a large chateau where the world's greatest lover, Giovanni Casanova, spent the last 13 years of his life looking after the local count's library of obscure books. Casanova wasn't too happy in Dux, by all accounts. We search for his final resting place, but his grave seems to have been lost. Next stop, Teplice, something of a homecoming for me. I lived here back in 1993. The sound of the trolley buses brings back fond memories of an idle summer in North Bohemia. It's spitting with rain by the time we take a chairlift up to Komažihuka Mountain, a big hill really, and back down again before catching the last train of the day to Ústí nad Labem. It's a large, spread-out city, and we have some trouble finding somewhere to stay. We end up at the wonderfully tacky Pension Lada and fall asleep under the gaze of a large porcelain Buddha.
Day 4, Ústí nad Labem to Jedlová.
We leave Ústí and head along the banks of the river Labe, or Elbe, en route for Děčín. It's another glorious day, and picking our way through the back streets of the city, we stumble upon Děčín's carefully renovated synagogue. Inside, we're welcomed as long-lost sons by the head of Děčín's Jewish community, Vladimír Poskočil, who brings us coffee and cake. Děčín's Jews were decimated by the Holocaust. Vladimír, who's 75, only survived when he was hidden away by family friends. It's a sobering thought, and the sight of a neo-Nazi skinhead waiting for a train at Děčín station makes us feel uncomfortable and angry. We make a brief stop in the instantly forgettable town of Rumburk before arriving at our final destination, Jedlová, an almost deserted railway station in the middle of a forest. There's a steep 4-kilometer hike up Jedlová Hill, which ends at a hilltop hostel with heart-stopping views of the valleys below. We've been on the rails for 4 days now, and it feels like an eternity.
Day 5. Jedlová to Trutnov.
We're woken by the sun rising in the woods. After the briefest of breakfasts, it's off back down Jedlová Hill in time for the 8:42 train. This is a travelling day, a 202-kilometre jaunt through Česká Lípa, Liberec, Tanvald, Železný Brod, Stará Paka, Martinice and Trutnov. We pass through narrow wooded valleys, offering picturesque glimpses of hamlets and farmhouses. We're entering the Krkonoše Mountains now, and it's all beginning to look rather Germanic. It's a relief to stop for the night at Trutnov, where Václav Havel once worked in the brewery. We drink many pints of foamy Krkonoš beer in his honour.
Day 6. Trutnov to Opočno.
As we approach Teplice nad Metuji, the Adašpaske Skali rocks loom out of the trees. At Teplice, we set out for a long hike through the rocky cities, but visions of being alone in the wilderness are shattered when we arrive at the rocks proper and find them teeming with Polish tourists. The walk leaves us starving, and fortified by a steaming plate of goulash, we head back to Teplice station. After a brief stop in Náchod, we arrive in Opočno, a rather gloomy place clinging on to the drab plains of East Bohemia. Here, the surly receptionist at the Hotel Holub eventually deigns to give us a room. We settle in and go for a brief pre-prandial walk around Opočno. The town produced the 2006 Miss World, Tatiana Kukajova, and that's about it. It shuts at 9.
Day 7. Opočno to jeseník.
We're awoken by Opočno's answer to the hound of the Baskervilles, and after dropping and breaking the TV remote control, we head out into a drizzly morning. It's another travelling day, Tinisti nad Orlicy, Letohrad, Dolny Lipka, Hanušovice, ending up in Jeseník. The train rattles through alpine scenery, mountain passes and tunnels, pear trees laden with fruit. Jeseník turns out to be a delightful mountain spa town. We ask a waiter where Silesia is. I think we're in it, he says to our surprise. We feast on chicken curry, Silesian style, and fall into a deep sleep.
Day 8. Jeseník to Krnov.
So we're on the 918 from Jeseník to Krnov, which actually goes into Poland and then back into the Czech Republic. So going across two state borders, but remaining in one historical province, that of Silesia, all in one journey, which is unusual.
It's lunchtime in Poland, but there are no restaurants, only ice cream stalls. So we settle for Wodzi, ice cream, and pass the time on the main square. Nick almost bludgeons to death a five-year-old girl when he heaves open the heavy wooden doors to the post office. Polish ladies glare at us. We might not leave Glucholazi alive. We do, though, and make it back into the Czech Republic, arriving at Trzemeszna Veslesku for a ride on a narrow-gauge railway to Osoblaha. There we meet German narrow-gauge enthusiast Mark Lobmann.
We are starting at Hamburg and just continue straight down to Poland. Had some normal operations in Poland, which are also quite exotic, and went from Poland directly to this place and took in this narrow-gauge road and continue on this night to Przemysl, to the Beskidian Mountains, and ride there at Narrow Gauge Railroad and finish up this train in Antonivka in the Ukraine Republic.
It's a great trip.
Yeah, sure.
After bidding farewell to Mark, we arrive in the city of Krnov, passing a flock of birds who've taken up residence in a tree. Greek food tonight. Krnov improbably has a large Greek population, refugees from the Civil War. This all feels a long, long way from Prague.
Day 9. Krnov to Český Těšín.
First stop of the day, Opava, the historical capital of Austrian Silesia. It's a grand old place and looks splendid in the sun. We head for the park, following the strains of brass band music to find a band entertaining a small and mostly elderly crowd. It's a wonderfully Austro-Hungarian way to start a Sunday. Afterwards, we sit outside the Art Nouveau town hall, watching the world go by and nursing hangovers with coffee and juice. A series of trains, both small and big, take us across the Ostrava conglomeration. We pass through Hlučín, Ostrava, Karviná, Bohumín, spotting working coal mines in the distance before ending up in Český Těšín. This is about as far east as you can travel by train in the Czech Republic. Across the river is Těšín and Poland. In fact, until 1920, Český Těšín and Těšín were one city. Today, it straddles two countries. Češín's Church of the Holy Cross, it's a shock to see so many people in church after years spent in the mostly atheist Czech Republic. Walking through the attractive cobbled streets, it seems the Poles got the better deal in 1920. They got the high ground and the pretty old town. The Czechs got the train station and a few factories. We discuss this over borscht, pierogi and mnogo živiec beers before finally heading for bed.
Day 10. Český Těšín to Valašské Meziříčí.
After an early start, we walk briskly back across the border into the Czech Republic and board the train for Frýdek Místek. We're heading for Frenštát pod Radhoštěm in the heart of Moravia's Beskyd Mountains, the westernmost spur of the Carpathian Range. At the top of a mountain called Radhošť is a statue to the pagan god Radagast, and we embark on a pilgrimage. The afternoon train deposits us in Valašské Meziříčí, capital of the fictitious kingdom of Wallachia. We narrowly escape being drenched in a sudden storm, finding solace in the friendly waitresses of the Uzvonu restaurant, who ply us with slivovice and bring us steaming bowls of sauerkraut soup. We've crossed the 1,000-kilometer mark today, and all this travelling is beginning to take its toll.
Day 11. Valašské Meziříčí to Zlín.
Up early to catch the 9:24 en route to Zlín, our halfway point. We end up at the station with lots of time to spare and head for the buffet. Suddenly we hear voices and the strains of an accordion in the restaurant next door. Three young men belting out Moravian folk songs at the top of their lungs, bottles of slivovice slung over their shoulders. It's a great start to the day and puts us in a fine mood for our arrival in Zlín, Batya's shoe town, purpose-built to house the workers in his shoe empire. We find an excellent hotel, dump our fetid washing at the desk, and go for a swim and sauna in the municipal pool. It's early afternoon and it's very nice to stop moving for half a day at least.
Day 12. Zlín to Skalica na Slovensku.
Either something I ate in Zlín didn't agree with me, or I've got dehydrated. I've been sick as a dog, and much of day 12 goes by in a blur. Staré město, Uherské Hradiště, former capital of the great Moravian Empire, Kunovice, Veselí nad Moravou. It's only once we walk across the border into Slovakia that I start perking up a little, enough to enjoy an early evening beer in the town of Skalica as the church bells chime on the main square. In 1918, Skalica was briefly the seat of an independent Slovak government, one of those footnotes of history that you stumble across and then instantly forget. Today, it's pretty, but hardly the centre of the universe, heralding an early dinner of halušky, the Slovak national dish, and an early night.
Day 13. Skalica na Slovensku to Znojmo.
We wake to find a thunderstorm raging outside the hotel. There's always something disconcerting about a heavy storm at 8 in the morning, and we're almost dodging bolts of lightning as we make our way to the station. We board a train for Kuty, a major border crossing, and earn hateful stares when we dare to open the windows to clear away the steam. Opening a window on a train in the Czech and Slovak Republics is something approaching a cardinal sin. At Břeclav, back on the Czech side, we hear odd explosions as we get down from the train. It seems to be some kind of nearby quarry. Břeclav is characterless and we spend as little time here as possible, moving on instead to the wonderful chateau at Valtice, eating cheese and salami rolls in the castle park, and on to Mikulov and spend a somber half hour visiting the ancient Jewish cemetery. One last train to Znojmo, one of Moravia's best kept secrets. The second best kept secret is Znojmo's Hošťan beer. This pub below the pension serves the 13 degree variety.
Day 14. Znojmo to Telč.
another early start. Today we'll hike 16 kilometres with packs from Yemnitsa in the middle of nowhere to Dachice, also in the middle of nowhere, but there's no train line in between, so we have to walk. We fortify ourselves with homegrown blackberries and walnuts bought on Znoimo's town square before heading via Moravske Budjovice to Yemnitsa. On the way we spot the gleaming cooling towers of the Dukovany nuclear power station in the distance. It's a tough walk to Dachice, much of it along a road, but we're rewarded with a granite cube-like monument commemorating the invention of the world's first sugar cube at the Dachice sugar refinery in 1843. From Dachice it's on through thick woody countryside to Telč and its famous wedding cake town square. We cross the invisible border from Moravia into Bohemia on our hike, and back in Bohemia we feel slightly closer to our goal.
Day 15, Telč to Třeboň.
A glance at the cloudless skies above Telč suggests it's going to be a scorcher, and much of the day goes by in a blur, an endless search for bottles of chilled water as we trek through Kostelec, Jindřichův Hradec, Obratan, taking in another narrow-gauge railway, Veselí nad Lužnicí, and finally Třeboň, where we feast on grilled carp doused in garlic and drink fine wine. It is hot.
Day 16. Třeboň to Vimperk.
More border crossings today. A short trip takes us to the Austrian border, and we alight at České Velenice. It's a brief walk past massage parlours and Vietnamese markets to Gmunt on the Austrian side. Until 1920, České Velenice and Gmunt were one town. Indeed, České Velenice was simply known as Gmunt III. Then it was partitioned as Czechoslovakia finally carved out its new frontiers. Again, the Austrians got the best bits, the pretty town square. This is the outdoor cafe. The Czechs got the railway station. Oh well. After an hour in Austria, we walk back to the Czech Republic past a deserted border crossing. We've heard the roads are packed with prostitutes, but there are none here on a Sunday. Perhaps they're all in church. From České Velenice, it's on past České Budějovice, Černý Kříž and Volary, where a steam train is being shunted up and down the rails in the soft evening light. It's a magnificent sight and stays with us as we arrive at our final destination, Vimperk, a charming little town nestling high up in the mountains. This is another homecoming for me. It was here that I spent my first 2 weeks in Czechoslovakia, back in 1992. A sign for the Hajná Hora campsite triggers a flood of memories, but I remember little else about the town. It was my friend Albert, the same guy who came up with the idea for this journey, who first took us to Vimperk 15 years ago, a trip that was to change my life. The circle is complete.
Day 17, Vimperk to Klatovy.
Another travelling day, and a relatively uneventful one. It's hot, we're rather worn out, and have our eyes on the prize, so to speak. Strakonica is rather dull, bearing all the hallmarks of a town that's been beaten up by history, first by American bombs in 1945, then by communist central planners. Oranjovice too looked unexciting, so we skipped it, heading instead for Klatovy. By now, we're both suffering from severe CFF, Czech food fatigue, but Klatovy's only alternative was Chinese. It was delicious, filling, cheap, and utterly predictable, and drenched in MSG, which kept us up all night with frantic nightmares and heart palpitations. 2 days left.
Day 18. Klatovy to Tachov.
Klatovy station boasts an extraordinary socialist realist mural showing workers looking intently at five-year plans whilst collective farm employees heft bales of corn and children play. At the far end, a border guard looks through a pair of binoculars for those foolish or ungrateful enough to attempt to flee this workers' paradise. We decide to flee Klatovy and fast. From Domažlice, there was a hop, skip and a jump across the border into Germany and the town of Furth am Wald in Bavaria. We got there at lunchtime and Bavaria seemed to be shut. A newsagent called Vinny saved us with Bratwurst and showed us his collection of Beatles records. back to Domažlice and on to Takov. This was once a beautiful town, but communist planners had run riot. The House of Culture, now a supermarket, easily winning the prize of ugliest building in Bohemia. We stay in some sort of converted tower block. We're so tired after 18 days on the rails, it feels like the Ritz.
Day 19, Takov to Aš.
A really, really early start, as we want to get to the town of Chodovar Plana, home to the Chodovar Brewery, which offers the unique prospect of bathing in beer. We strip off in a little changing room, emerging in soft white dressing gowns. A nurse is waiting, and she shows us the large grey metal tubs with smart copper taps. They're filled with a mixture of local spring water, beer and yeast, and heated to a pleasant bath-like temperature.
It feels remarkably good just to be able to
sit and relax.
Yeah, lie in a bath
for a bit.
For a little while. We're going to be travelling by train for the rest of the day. And you think about all that we've seen. It's really, really amazing just how much of the country that we've covered.
Yep.
And quite fitting that we should end it with a brewery, given the place that Czech beer plays, or beer plays in Czech culture.
Absolutely.
When we finally roll into Aš at 14:49 in the afternoon, we're exhausted but delirious with success and smelling slightly of beer. We've been on the rails for 19 days, have taken 86 train journeys and travelled 2,162 kilometres from one end of the country to the other and back again. We're not quite sure what led us to spend 19 days on an uncomfortable, agonisingly slow Czech train. I suppose, as Mallory said of Everest, because it's there.
To znám, to dobře znám, 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 na kolejích nejsem nikdy sám. Schejpni hlavu, kamaráde, tunel před námi. Vexle klučou píšťaly zvou zvonce vyzvání. V boudě dobrej mašin víra není žádnej srap. I v tom dešti sazí jsem ten nejšťastnější chlap. Je ze všech chlapů nejšťastnější chlap. Když z komína od mašiny letí černej dým, na tom světě jenom jednu věc na tu ty vím. Na tom světě širokým věc jednu jistou mám. Na kolejích chudej hobou není nikdy sám. Je s chudej hobou není nikdy sám. To znám, to dobře znám, znám, znám. Na kolejích nejsem nikdy sám, sám, sám. To znám, to dobře znám, znám, znám. Na kolejích nejsem nikdy sám.
Za zádama Frisko semafor je zelenej, vlak se žene do tmy jako bejček splašenej. Radujte se, občánkové, hobou si jdou k vám. Na kolejích chudej hobou není nikdy sám. Je s chudej hobou není nikdy sám. Pod zádama uhlí mám a deku děravou. Místo lampy večerní jen hvězdy nad hlavou. S večerem jsem do vagónu zalez jako krab. I v tom dešti stazí jsem ten nejšťastnější chlap. Je ze všech chlapů nejšťastnější chlap.
To znám, to dobře znám, znám, znám. Na kolejích nejsem nikdy sám, sám, sám. To znám, to dobře znám, znám, znám. Na kolejích nejsem nikdy sám.